What are we preaching? I'd like to open this with Proverbs 15:32. It does have bearing. Take this to heart. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. So just what are we preaching today? And what are we listening to? We're hearing everything but the real gospel today. And there is a famine in the land, a famine of the word. But there isn't much, if any, real preaching, edification, how we walk going on out there. We're hearing space preaching like, you know, we're all from another planet. Woohoo! We're hearing about revelations of strange lizard men from the Bible, and asteroids and comets and government conspiracies. Sure, we're hearing about the importance of gold and silver and powdered food and a stash of weapons as being an integral part of God's salvation plan for us. Really? Isaiah 59:10 says, we grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. That's what I'm getting from all the popularity out there of all this diverse preaching. We hear the name of God preachers taking a month of Sundays to tell us what name we should use to call upon our God and our rendezvous with damnation if we don't. And most namers can't even pronounce the words they use correctly. And that's what an American third-rate education gets us, folks. Third-rate American zealots. God wants spiritual fruits, not religious nuts. We have preterism, which tells us that all the last day's events already occurred and we're now in the millennium. And the preterists are on the gravy train is all, folks. No millennium. Now about prosperity. Sure, we have prosperity. If you believe in God and have a knack for twisting scripture, you sure could have any earthly blessing you want here. Why didn't you know Matthew 19:29 says so according to the prosperous? Name it and claim it. Dead end. The eternal security doctrine runs in the veins of virtually every false ministry out there. It is the most potent poison. The eternal security doctrine doesn't really kill the soul it infects. It's always the secondary infection it causes that kills. These secondary infections include every doctrine I've just described, from preterism, keeping the law, rapture, the Pentecostal cult, et al. We hear the Christian identity Nazi racists spewing forth God's good wholesome word, twisted a tad, to inspire elitism and hate for any but the white race, all cloaked in some kind of white garment that shows them how special and apart they are from the rest of the world. We've got biblical science babble and ancient legends galore, don't we, out there? Plenty to keep us from seeking out the kingdom of God first. That's the problem here. Distraction, junk, garbage. We've heard about planetary connections and interstellar connections and lunar connections, and all the while, no commentary on the life of Christ or the conduct of the elect. But somehow, we're made to believe that all this stuff is permissible and it's acceptable. It's an acceptable addition to our walk in faith. Well, I disagree. I do not hear preachers telling us that God's Spirit calls those he may or may not choose, John 6:44. I hear them telling us that our problems will be solved. Our problems will be solved if we just accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Well, it's just as easy as rolling off a log, folks. And by way of a tear-jerking prayer, or an altar call, which is suspicious, you somehow bypass the brokenness and the repentance and the surrender, which results of your seeking out God, and you go straight to a wonderful life. My God, is anyone listening to the wolves howl? Well, what did Jesus do? No, not what would Jesus do. What did Jesus do? You want some truth? Let's read it from the Bible. What do the scriptures testify to? Well, if you have a writing instrument and a piece of paper handy, or you're fast on your King James computerized study Bible, jot these scriptures down. Jesus Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom. That's what Jesus preached. Matthew 4:23, Matthew 9:35. The poor, or the meek, had the gospel preached unto them. Matthew 11:5. The meek. Jesus preached repentance. Matthew 4:17. And Jesus told his followers to preach it also. Matthew 10:7. And before Jesus came John the Baptizer. Mark 1:4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He preached repentance too, didn't he? Yeah. We got repentance. We've got the gospel of the kingdom. Did John the Baptizer need to preach about Rome? Or its conspiracies to take over the world? Did John the Baptizer need to speak about Planet X? Or storing up those locusts and honey? For some eventual demise of Jerusalem in AD 70? Those who followed after Jesus were told that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem, Luke 24:47. Did Jesus tell those that he commissioned to preach on his prophecies as a ministry? Was that included in the divine commission even then? Is that something that's included today? Well, the Bible is full of last day's prophecies and those regarding the rebellious and sinful. And here's a real kicker for you, saints. Are we so naive to think that these judgments are really about us? Or are they about the sovereignty and mercy of God himself bringing himself glory? You'd best think about that one, folks. And I mean, you'd best think about that one hard, with fear and trembling. Is it all really about us, or is it really about God? Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. Well, that's preaching. Go figure. Is that what we're hearing today? The preaching of the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence? For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul, 1 Corinthians 2:2. Are your preachers out there that you're listening to determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified? Are they determined to preach nothing else to you save Jesus Christ and him crucified? Did Jesus Christ tell us to make gold, silver, and prepared foods a ministry that would lead to souls being saved by your testimony? Never. Did Jesus tell us to make the stars and the earth and the cosmos and the economy and the worldly government our ministry, folks? Never. There's nothing wrong with being knowledgeable or prepared if God has supplied. But to count it as a ministry or as treasure in heaven or counting ourselves righteous by our worldly knowledge and survival skills is ludicrous. Yet there we dwell. The preaching of today leads to dissension, contention, and confusion, spiritual impotency, death. Don't we know who we're up against? If your answer is Satan, you're close, but no cigar. Read your Bible some more and turn off TBN. And spend some more time with your God for the answer. Wisdom, understanding, and enlightenment come not from men or women. Our misconception of wisdom and understanding is as bad as our misconceptions about the real meaning of grace and holiness and election. Really? Oh, and you know, Jesus rescued me from the power of sin. You know, our central problem is that we want to be led around by the noses. Well, this ministry, this calling, is all about smacking a few noses and trying to wake a few people up. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Proverbs 15:21. Do we indulge ourselves in frivolous historical, scientific, and theological pursuits in order to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding? Proverbs 1:2. Is that why we do it? To know wisdom and instruction? To perceive the words of understanding? Do you not know that the knowledge and wisdom of this world cannot compare to the knowledge of God and His kingdom? That knowledge cannot save, and it cannot get you one step closer to heaven. Where is the profit to our souls in knowing the effects of gas prices in relation to the societal impact of this increase? Where is the profit in the knowledge of the stock market or the latest biological aberration plaguing mankind? The fearmongers have baited us well. We don't study and pray to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, Proverbs 1:3, do we? No. We study to keep up with the latest New World Order or scientific trends, wars and rumors, and the latest new twist on the gospel that might make it a bit easier to find life without giving ourselves up completely to God. Yeah. Are we receiving our wisdom from the radio and the TV and the net? I thought the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2:6. Oh, I get it. Yeah. Our teachers have a corner on wisdom, just like the false prophets did. Yeah, they've got the corner, just like the Pharisees did. They've got the corner on wisdom. So us poor, wanting to be led around by the nose sheep, go to their troughs, because there's always somebody else who's there to do the hard work for us. And we don't feel secure unless we're rubbing shoulders with the enlightened and informed herd. Our faith isn't good enough. When we don't get it from God, well, it must mean that we must get it from someone else. That's tragic. There's no waiting on God. There's no being silent and knowing that He is God. The object of the majority of preaching today is to draw men to men and their carnal doctrines. And the result is shipwreck and catastrophe. God's wisdom is rejected out of hand. To those false teachers who make us believe that we should turn to them for our understanding, wisdom, peace, safety, and biblical education other than the Spirit of the living God, Blood will be required of you all in the end. Absolutely. I believe 1 John 2:27. I believe Ezekiel 33:8. And I fall on the side of David here. I don't find any sound mind or godly instruction in the media world of Christianity today. I receive understanding from God by His Holy Spirit, quietly and alone. I must be an outcast then. And I'll repeat the words of David himself. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Psalm 119:99, and that includes the interaction with the Holy Spirit. Who teaches you? Was David being arrogant, elitist? No, he was being humble and he was speaking the truth. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. The testimonies of God through His Word and by His Spirit are our meditation. Meditation, though, means that we must take time to be quiet and alone with our God, and that's something we never find time to do, is it? Well, meditation and prayer are key to real understanding of truth and the last day's events, if you want to go there, with balance. Meditation on God. Well, here we go again. That's too simple, though, too. We'd rather fire up the radio and chew on the sensational junk food called preaching today and figure it all out with our minds, leaving our spirits and our relationship with our jealous God completely off our porches. Well, run with the pack and die with the pack, folks. You've been warned. Repent and return to your first love. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Amos 5:10. Kind of laying a little foundation for what I'm going to say next. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. What I and a few other preachers have been given, we give freely to you. Freely. It doesn't cost you a membership. It doesn't cost you your loyalty to us. It doesn't cost you one thin dime of your hard-earned mammon. It's free. And this puts the likes of this preacher and others at an advantage. We can still have clean hands. We don't offer you truth with strings and hooks and price tags. We offer you the truth as it's been revealed to us. We didn't find truth at a Bible cemetery or on the radio or the TV or the web. Neither did the few others we fellowship with that I know of out there in the world. No. We found truth by the revelation of God's Holy Spirit. We were drawn to Him. We understand what that drawing is all about. We know God's constant provision, and we know the austerity and the rebuke that comes of being a servant of this King. We desire no earthly treasure or acclaim, and at this juncture, we still have neither. And may this continue to God's glory to the end. We only desire to serve God by bringing what He has given us to bring to any who will hear. But we tell you things that you must hear, not things you want to hear. Doesn't make us real popular, but who cares? We tell you things that many, most, refuse to accept. And that's all well and good. The absolutes of following Jesus Christ have been recorded in Scripture, which testify to the change in our hearts at our conversions. Our new hearts testify that there are either saints or ain'ts, wheat or tares, real or posers. The media world of false Christianity is that which fills in the space between the real and the false. It's in the middle of that, it's in the gulf between the real and the poser, you know, the wheat and the tares. It's a swamp. It's a wasteland of dead ends and wrong turns and poison and lies, and we could do it for you. It's all designed to snare the weak among us and to point the lazy saint toward darkness. It's all designed to shut up the kingdom of God and draw us into the kingdom of men and their pat little doctrines of devils. And I say this with fear and grief, that there is no discernment today. There is only sleep. Saints, it is not what we know of this world that defines us in God's eyes. It's how surrendered to Him we are through Jesus Christ. Surrendering all of our ability, our learning, our very lives. The only cure for many of our ills is to simply shut out the voices of the world and trust no one that comes in the name of the Lord, unless the Lord Himself convicts us of one's genuineness in the Holy Spirit. We have to do this for ourselves, alone and apart from the rest. We have to discern the spirits. We have to test the spirits. Come on, folks. You know, it's way too simple. It's way too simple for some of us to stand alone. To stand alone and look the truth square in the eye. This simplicity is ignored by the vast multitude calling themselves Christian. I tell you, seek refuge with your God, alone on your narrow way. There's no refuge at a carnival or a circus. I mean, there's mayhem, there's confusion, there's hustle and there's bustle and there's lights and noise and sights and sounds and smells and, you know, all kinds of stuff. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is being alone with your God. You know, and when He fills you and sends you out, that's when you touch people. Not because of some note you've got posted on your refrigerator that you got to do today for God. It's a zoo out there, folks. I tell you the truth. Earthly knowledge, including sequences of prophetic events, will matter little in the kingdom and will not contribute to your finding life at the end of your journey. And I said contribute because in the final analysis, it is not up to us to know the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46:10. Only the knowledge of God, meekness, humility, and complete surrender to His sovereign will can complete us in any way. Study to show yourself approved of God. Study your God and His righteousness. Not the last time Planet X came by and visited the earth. It's not about science, history, or the price of tea in China. It's about Jesus Christ crucified, risen, glorified. It's about the promise of hope and salvation at the end of our sojourn here. It's about repentance and self-sacrifice. When we are full of the Holy Ghost, we could do nothing less than present our bodies a living sacrifice, which because of the infilling of the Holy Ghost becomes that which is holy and acceptable to God. Nothing we can offer is holy and acceptable to God. God is why we seek Him. That's why we agonize to enter in. That's why we work out our salvation. That's why we walk a narrow, restricted way toward the promise of life. That's why it's not over until the bitter, glorious end for the chosen. That's why broad and colorful is the way to destruction. And that's why there be few that find life at all. You get alone with your God and shut the door now. Diligently seek God and God alone. Do not heed all the voices out there. They profit you not. It's still your call. It's still all about choices. Keep it simple, saints. Keep it simple. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, keep it simple. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Jeremiah 13:16. You've been warned. The famine continues, and the darkness deepens. So be it.